You're listening to the Dream Marriage Podcast with Brian and Allison Dahlke.
Most married people probably wouldn't say their marriage is a dream. Many would even say it's a nightmare.
But with the right priorities and a unified vision, you and your spouse truly can have the dream marriage. Welcome back to the Dream Marriage Podcast. We are at the end of a week of doing an episode every day. And
we did it.
We did it. Well, we're not done yet.
Okay.
This is a big topic.
Big for sure. Topic.
But I'm really also excited about the episode that's coming out Tuesday.
Next week, yeah.
We got a humdinger for you.
Humdinger. What a word.
I asked Sally if I could say that word. She said, whatever, you do you. I was like,
say whatever you want to say.
Yep, humdinger. We got a humdinger next week. So today, what's our topic today, babe?
Sex toys.
That's right. And not just, I think when people say sex toys, they think of a vibrator or a penis ring or something. It's also other things, right?
Yeah.
Blindfolds and earplugs and handcuffs and whatever. Just anything in that realm.
Yeah. Right.
So first let's discuss, there's a lot of negative connotation, especially in the Christian world.
So if you want to go and like, here's what's crazy to me. You can go and find an argument telling you absolutely not, you should never use sex toys. Or you can find an argument that tells you why you should.
Right.
In the Christian realm, for sure, you will find pastors that will preach on both. What's interesting about that is everything that we have done in our marriage has been centered around what the Bible says, what the boundaries are around sex.
Right.
And that's all based off of Hebrews 13:4, where in the Cliff Notes version, that is one, that the marriage bed is undefiled, that there is no fornication, no adultery, and no lust or coveting.
Right.
And those are the only rules that we are given that have to do with sex, like with the marriage bed.
Right.
That's it.
Now, we can't downplay that they're the only, I mean, those are huge rules.
They're huge rules.
And there's a lot of things involved in each of those rules.
Right.
So,
but what I'm saying is those are the boundary lines. And what some people do is they decide to make up their own rules just based on what they feel like
right
would be true.
Right. Their own, and some of them try to wrap it into their own theology.
Right.
And I've heard the argument made recently. I listened to a guy that he's a Christian speaker. He was a pastor. Now he travels around and speaks. And I was really locked in when I heard him speaking about it because he's very passionate about this. Like he did multiple episodes on sex. His podcast that he did on it actually is one of the higher ranking podcasts about Christian married couples and sex and the things that have to do with that. So I was like, all right, this guy's going to have good theology. Started off good. And then he took a turn when it came to anything in addition to in your bedroom, anything, like anything from, you know, handcuffs or a blindfold or earplugs or anything that we would consider somewhat PG almost.
This is the guy, too, that said lubricant
right.
was not.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his argument was he didn't use any scriptural reference. There were a couple he loosely used that were being used in a completely different context for a completely different situation.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically used a verse that God has given you everything you need. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he then linked that to his sex life with his wife, and he said, God made us exactly like we were supposed to be made to be able to pleasure each other in all the ways necessary, given what, you know, the anatomy that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, there is no way you should ever need any kind of sex toy or a vibrator or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, immediately I was kind of like, oh, okay, well, you better back this up biblically, because by saying God gave you everything you need is a very loose interpretation, because in that sense, you could also say, okay, then why do we need to breathe air? Why do we need to eat food? Why do we need to drink water? Why do we need exercise? You know, I mean, if he's autonomously given us everything where we're just in this space and we have everything we need, well, that argument doesn't hold water. And so where we see biblical truth is that our goal as a married couple, as a covenant married couple, is to grow our intimacy forever.
Right.
And as long as it's adding to and not taking away from your closeness, then I don't see a problem.
Yeah.
And I've had some really good discussions with, you know, people that I trust spiritually and pastors, and I've never heard a legitimate argument against, as long as you're both consenting.
Right.
As long as it is something that you're doing together for each other and it's growing your relationship.
Right.
As long as it's not taking away from. So we'll talk a little more about that, but we just wanted to get out in the open at the beginning. I know this is a big topic in the Christian world. It's something that I've never heard a pastor from a pulpit talk about this. Maybe I won't ever.
Yeah.
Whether that's right or wrong, I know they've got to consider younger ears in their audiences, but this is something that we believe when we've had conversations with couples, it's almost this secretive, like, oh yeah, we have a couple little toys, but yeah, we don't tell anybody about it. And it's this hidden and shame thing, which it should be private. I get it. But also there's shame associated with it. And I just don't think there should be.
Right. Well, let's go back to this has to start with personal preference. And so it may be right for your marriage and it may not be. And that's where this comes down to. This is a decision that you guys make as a couple. So, we've talked in all these episodes about our yes, no, maybe list. It's a free download intimacy checklist that's on our website. You can go to thedreammarriage.com and download it. But that you may be saying that's a no for me, and that's okay. And on top of that, there may be different seasons of your life where the no goes to maybe, or maybe it was a yes and then it turns to a no. This is all about communication and about your personal preferences and about past experiences when it comes to your marital bed and the two of you as a couple.
Right. And that's really hear us say that, because in what we're going to talk about, we're strictly talking about our experience and our communication and our struggle with this initially.
Right.
There was a lot of that, and we're going to get into all that. But you guys really just need to do a self-reflection on, do I think this is okay and why?
Mm-hmm.
And also be open to the fact that you're probably not going to agree fully as spouses. Maybe you do. Wherever you land, whether you land on this is a hard no, these couple of things are okay, or no holds barred, you might fully agree. And if so, that's great. Then you're going to have, your intimacy is going to grow and it's going to be great. But if you disagree, which you more than likely will, most couples that we've introduced to this conversation over, the years of doing our retreats, rarely do they agree, and that's okay. Their personal experiences and their personal preferences and the way they were raised and the ideas they have about these kinds of things are the reason they feel that way. And then on top of that, there might be something that you don't know, or maybe there might be something in their past that they just had a really bad experience with something, and that's their reasoning for that. And that's okay too.
Yeah. So one of the things we've talked a lot about is, what are the things that you believe about sex to be true, right? That's kind of one of the things that we kind of the baggage we bring into marriage often is what have we believed to be true about sex? And when you look at sex toys, it's super interesting, the cultural stigma around them.
Right.
Like this whole concept of you don't need a man, or I don't need a man, I've got a vibrator.
Right.
Of thing.
There was something I saw the other day. It was a clip from I think it was Sex in the City, a show that I never really watched, but I know of it. But she had just broken up with a guy, one of the characters or something, and her girlfriend hands her a bag, and she's like, what's that? And she's like, once you have this, you don't need a man. And it was some kind of vibrator or something.
Right.
But that it has that stigma socially, I think, that if you have any kind of toys or you feel the need to have any kind of toys, it must be because your partner isn't taking care of you in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true at all.
Right.
I get the stigma of the single girl and all that. I understand it. But as a whole, we know it can be something that can enhance,
right,
not take away from or be a replacement for.
Yeah.
But that is also the way you have to approach that conversation.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm not starting this conversation with you because you're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm starting this conversation because I think things could be even more fun.
Yeah.
So, you can survive your whole life on macaroni and cheese, but it's really great to have a steak every now and then. Like that kind of, and I'm not saying
I probably
shouldn't have said any of that, because sex with you is not mac and cheese. It's it's a filet mignon, but I'm just saying, it's that mindset of it's in addition to,
right.
It's not because you're lacking anything,
right.
On either end.
Well, and I will say for us, it is very much the introduction of and our kind of step into experimenting with sex toys and trying different things. It's hugely grown our intimacy over the past, 10
Probably 8 or 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, because we for sure did not always.
Well, and let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
So this is where I think a lot of couples land. One of us was very for experimenting.
Yes, Enneagram 7 over there.
Right. One of us, I won't name any names, Allison, but one of us absolutely was against it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Like, so I think we mentioned in last week or something in one of our episodes about I went to this sex toy party in my 20s and I bought some stuff and I was like super excited about it. We tried it and then it all of a sudden just became a very hard stop for me. And the reason was because I felt like, well, I'm not enough on my own. This was my head,
right?
Not what you were saying to me, but like that I'm not enough. So we have to do these other things for you to actually enjoy this
or anticipate or get excited for.
Right. Like,
well, and that's my fault looking back. And I don't know if we got into this on the podcast, but
well, and we also did not have a ton of communication about it.
We didn't have great intimacy at the time. We didn't have communication.
Yeah.
We didn't have. So I think I was searching for a way for us to continue to grow our intimacy because we both knew it needed to grow.
Right.
You saw it as something that because we didn't have good intimacy, I needed some kind of replacement. And what's funny is it wasn't even a toy for me. It was a toy for you.
Right.
But, and that's why I always had trouble understanding was because she bought it.
I know.
And it was something I would use on her.
Yeah.
Yet she didn't want to do it. And she, the reasoning that she would say and what she would default to was like, why am I not enough? Why am I not enough? And I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, you are enough. This is for you. I just enjoy watching you feel good. And so this is a different way for me to do it. And then I still get to make love to you afterward. And so that was where my mind was. But again, our communication wasn't good.
Right.
We didn't have great intimacy.
Well, and that was me also, the younger version of me with less emotional health, right? Like also that statement in and of itself, like me not feeling like I was enough, that was a huge like wounding of things that I've worked through in therapy since then.
Right.
You know, so it was a lot of things. It was complex.
Yeah. And really our marriage, I don't think was ready for it.
Yeah, I for sure would agree with that.
And that's why I think the next thing we should say is, depending on where you are in your marriage, if you do an honest reflection of your intimacy currently, and I mean, like we said, I think it was yesterday's episode when we were talking about, or a couple days ago, our comfort level is maxed out at this point. Like, I don't think there's any between our, you know, the whole sickness and health thing in marriage. Allie's had a pretty crazy health journey with some surgeries and things like that. Like, we've seen each other at our very worst.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that has scared me off yet. There's nothing that scared her off yet. We're just very comfortable around each other. And because of that, your intimacy kind of grows with that comfort if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
So if you do an honest reflection of your marriage and you're like, I don't know, we're still, you know, I still prefer to have sex with the lights off at this point in our marriage or whatever it might be, this probably isn't a conversation you need to have yet. There's lots of other things you guys need to do to continue to grow your intimacy. That's communication. Mm-hmm. That is appreciation.
Well,
leaning into each other's love languages.
It's continuing to learn about each other's bodies.
Right.
You know, like we still had a lot of growth to do in that area of really learning, you know, how do we best pleasure each other and how do we best take care of each other? And so there's a lot that goes into that for sure.
So if you're listening to this and you're like, I just don't think we're there, that's fine. Just earmark this episode, wait a couple of years, continue to grow your intimacy, continue to grow your connection. This might be something that's on the table down the road, but it might not be right now. But if you're on the other side of that and you have good intimacy, or maybe you've even kind of already experimented with some things with your spouse or whatever that might look like, then this might be the episode for you. So we'll get into that a little bit more.
So tell me when it comes to now, what our relationship looks like when it comes to the way we have added sex toys into our, like, you know, literal toy box, I guess, of, you know, having fun in the bedroom and increasing our intimacy. What is it that you would say? Well, I guess maybe I need to go back to, like, how did we get from the it's a no to where we kind of started dipping our toe back in again, because we really didn't talk about that before.
Right. Do you remember?
I don't.
Okay. I remember. So when that happened, we kept those things for a long time. We had them locked away in a little box.
Yeah.
And it was something that I would mention every now and then. And as our intimacy started to grow and as our, you know, our connection got better and we grew spiritually a lot in that, you know, from our fourth or fifth year married to about our 10th or 12th year married, we went through a lot. We went through a lot of life change. We really started to learn what it was like to follow the Lord and to really lean into him in our spiritual walk.
Right.
And that grew together. We kind of grew, we're on the same track as far as that went. And then we had foster babies and we had our own kids and we had, I mean, we just had a lot of life happen to us in that 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got a lot more comfortable with each other. I think our intimacy grew a lot.
Right.
And there was a point where I kind of mentioned, you know, hey, we, you know, with very soft gloves, you know,
gentle,
of like, hey, we still have those toys that you bought like years ago. Like, we still have those? I was like, yeah, they made like two moves with us, you know, like I've got them in a locked box. Yeah. He was like, I mean, maybe I would be more open to that. And also, and you guys listening will understand this, other parts of our sexual lives grew as well.
Like, right.
We used to be very missionary. That's it. We're doing it. But, you know, as far as positions and oral sex and things like that, that all grew as well. And so I kind of felt like we were at this point where it was like, we're comfortable enough around each other. You know that I'm not going to seek anything out to replace you.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not going to seek anything out to replace me. Maybe we could start to introduce some of those things. And it started like, I think it's, we went in kind of easy. You bought a, do you remember that? Like, it was like a clit sensitizer thing that looked like a little lip balm. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah. It's like a gel. Like,
yeah. So like it started off with like trying something like that, like something to kind of enhance the experience.
Right.
And then from there we kind of tried some other things. And then I told her we had those other toys and she's like, oh, okay, well yeah, maybe. And so I don't remember the exact moment or any of that, but I'm sure it must have gone okay because it continued after that.
Well, and I know that for a fact for me, I was growing so much just in my personal confidence in my body and in what I had been learning about the way the things that felt good to me too. You know, like I think early in your marriage, sometimes it's not, you're not trying to get better at sex. You're just trying to have sex.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like you're just trying to make sure it happens.
Yeah.
But I think as we grew in our intimacy and we grew spiritually and all of these things happened, we started to really focus too on like, oh man, okay, how can we make this better for both of us? And a part of that is learning about, like for me, it was learning about my own body. And so I was becoming more aware of things that felt good to me or things that stimulated me or, you know,
a lot
stuff
of it
like
too
that
was, and we've talked about this on a past sex episode, but a lot of it was the communication during sex too.
Yeah.
When we started to learn, hey, it's okay to like correct, like, hey, move a little bit this way or do this or change your hand this way. You know, as you're communicating during sex and you're learning what your partner likes,
right,
you also become more comfortable to communicate that.
Right.
And so when things come up like, hey, what about this toy thing? Or what about, you know, would you ever want to be blindfolded? Like, is that something? Well, you can have those conversations more comfortably, even though I kind of feel like I probably had to walk on eggshells a little bit about them initially, just based on our history. But now it's something that doesn't even faze us. We actually have to be careful now because, you know, we got so many kids running around, but.
Jeez.
Yeah.
We almost had an incident the other day.
Yeah, we did.
Some things did not get put away.
Right.
Shoot. Anyways, so.
Be careful.
Be careful. What was I going to say? Oh, so. How would you say that this has increased our intimacy? Because, I mean, for sure it has. Hands down, adding toys to our kind of sexual repertoire has, I would say, put our intimacy like leaps and bounds above where it was before. But,
well, I think the biggest thing for me was, you know, you always hear that women can have multiple orgasms, right? I say that you always hear. I don't know if you always heard that. I had always heard that.
I didn't know that was a thing for most of my adult life.
Well, we didn't really, and we talked about this on a past episode as well, but the first time Allison experienced multiple orgasms, it was because of us communicating. I could feel her holding, like when we would be making love, I could feel her holding back from having an orgasm until I was going to go so we could go together and all that, which is great. But there was a point where I was like, just go. Like, let it go. Like, I could tell she was getting close, and she did. And then she had another one. And I just remember afterward, I remember what house we lived in, but we were having a cup of coffee. So maybe it was in the morning. I don't know. But we were sitting down at the table with mugs. So maybe it was just winter and we were drinking, you know, hot chocolate or something. But you basically said, I didn't know I could do that. Like I thought maybe, but I didn't know. And I thought maybe it would be a pause. Well, what we learned, and we know now, obviously, anatomically, women can typically have them fairly quickly back to back.
Yeah.
Men can't.
Right.
Maybe there's some special men out there that can. I need a half hour at least, sometimes more. And that's not the case for Allison. And so to me at that point, using toys was something that I could give you multiple that way.
Yeah.
And you're still there for me.
Right.
Whenever it's time for us to have sex. And so it was one of those like, oh, this is even better. And because I'm so visual and I get to watch and be a part of it and, you know, all of that. But that's where for me, I think that time was the time that I really started to try to probably lean into. We could also play with toys and, you know.
Yeah.
So that was it for me. Before we get too ahead of ourselves, though, I do want to say the thing about this and part of the stigma and all of that is the places that you buy these things.
Yeah, that's good.
Are the same places you buy pornography.
Yeah.
And are the same places you buy.
Well, but do people buy pornography these days? I mean, it's just free, right? Or you have to pay for it?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know how it works.
Well, regardless of whether they still sell pornography.
Okay.
Because we've walked into some of those places.
Yeah.
And you're immediately like
bombarded
with just images everywhere.
Yeah.
Of naked people and positions and things. And it's just not, it's not okay with us.
Right.
For you to see that.
Yeah.
And so the place we want to tell you guys that's a safe place to go, this woman, this Christian woman, started this website called covenantspice.com.
Yep.
We're not sponsored by them. The lady that owns the site doesn't know we're saying this. We've never met. I've just heard her a couple of different times on a couple of different podcasts. But her whole goal in making this website was she didn't want people to have to walk into one of those stores where they're also exposed to all of this imagery and pornography.
Right. Yeah.
And there's things in those places that we're not okay with.
Right.
Like things that inflict pain on your partner that they're not okay with and things like that's too far for us. We're not okay. Like, again, this is to grow your intimacy,
yeah,
not to create woundings.
Right.
So she created this website, and the whole deal is the packaging on these things, the website itself.
Yeah.
There's no vulgar images. There's no pornography.
Well, even just like the lingerie on their website, it's just the lingerie. It's not the lingerie on a woman.
Right.
You know, so it's just everything is, you can go there knowing like, I'm not going to see anything that I shouldn't
right.
see.
Well, I do remember one time we didn't say we were going to say this, but we were looking at one fun thing we've done in the past. Like we'll go on a lingerie date where we'll go to Victoria's Secret and Allie will pick out a couple pairs of lingerie. And at our Victoria's Secret, I'm assuming they're all like this. There's like a waiting area in the back where, you know, a husband can wait and their wife can kind of walk out and show them what they're wearing. So you can give it the thumbs up, thumbs down. And those are really fun to do. But we've also like gotten online before and you've been like, hey, what do you think about this or this? And 95% of those sites, maybe 100% besides this one, shows it on a woman.
Right.
And I remember you saying one time, you were like, I'm not going to look like this in it. So don't think it's going to look like this.
Oh.
But even just that mental, like you processing through, like, I'm never going to look like that.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I didn't even thought about that, and but so, yeah, no, that's real.
So for both of us, which I don't care. I don't want you to look like that. I in my head want you to look exactly like you look,
but
now that's already a hurdle.
Yeah. And I know that I've said this before. We are, as women, we're natural comparers, right? So when I see a Victoria's Secret model in this great lingerie, I'm like, well, that's really pretty. And it's pretty on her because, you know,
yeah,
she's a supermodel.
Right.
But then it's like, well, it's not going to look like that on me. Well,
and it's airbrushed and it's lighting and it's, you know, there were 20 people involved in taking that picture.
But that's what I love about Covenant Spice is you can go on there. I can just see this beautiful piece of lingerie, but it's not on somebody's body, you know, so.
So I just wanted to state that because, again, the stigma of you going with your spouse into one of these places, because I do think it's important that y'all do it together. I think it's fun.
Well, and actually, we went to a really great store one time that did not have any.
We did.
That one. You know what I'm talking about? We were in, it's in Texas.
It was, yeah, we were down there for something. But it was a really cool, and one of the reviews said that. Like it said, it doesn't feel dirty. It doesn't feel like you're at a set of a pornography or anything like that. And so I saw the pictures on Yelp and I was like, oh, babe, this place we can go into.
Like, I guess if you could say there's a classy sex toy store, this place was it.
Right.
Like nothing, it did not feel dirty, well lit. It was a beautiful, it looked like a boutique, really, is what it looked like.
Yeah. So there are those places that exist, but I was just going to say, be careful, because obviously it's something, if you ever are going to walk into one of those places, we don't recommend it. We would much rather send you to a site like this where it's appropriate. But if you ever do it together, just so one, you've got accountability there, so you're not gawking at some of these things, and just keep your eyes low and just, you know, it's, I don't know, it sounds weird to even say that because maybe you just shouldn't do it.
I know.
But do it together. Don't let it be something that you go do by yourself, because there's too much temptation. And also it's just, it starts fun conversations. Like when we're on this site looking at stuff, I'd be like, well, what about that? Is that something? Well, maybe. You know, it just adds to your conversation and interest level. So do it together. But before you ever get to that point, obviously have a conversation about it first.
So again, I just want to go back to like the key to all of this and the goal behind all of this is for you to increase your intimacy and for you to increase your fun in the marital bed. Sex is supposed to be a gift. It is a gift from God, but not everybody treats it like that.
Right.
And the secular world sure doesn't treat it like that, right? But this is just something that can be an enhancement to your marriage and to your sex life, but it may not be right for you right now, or it may not ever be right for you. And that's okay too.
Yeah.
Just like going back to like, just because this is okay for one person does not necessarily mean it's okay for everyone.
Yeah.
But that's why this conversation is important and vital. And again, things can change because I for sure was like not going to happen, you know? And then over time I warmed up to the idea.
Yeah. And the last thing I want to say about it is, you know, I don't know how it sounds on the other end of this conversation, but this isn't something we use every time.
Oh, so right.
Don't assume it's like, well, you know, it sounds like they have to use them all the time. No, not at all.
No.
It's actually more of an afterthought than it ever is in a plan. You know, we don't, like in the episode where we talked about planning and anticipating, we're not usually like, oh, hey, we're going to get all the toys out and we're going to do this and that. No, it's usually just like, I would, above all else, I want to just make love to my wife.
Yeah.
These, like we said, are an enhancement at times, but it's not something that we use all the time.
Right.
So don't worry. Don't have that thought in your mind of, I'm worried this is going to become a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as you guys are communicating well and as long as you guys understand each other, it will never become that.
No.
And it should never become that. And if it ever starts to walk down that road, obviously get rid of it, because that's not okay. That's not the goal. The goal is to grow your intimacy together. But I just wanted to say this isn't something that you have to do all the time, you know?
No.
And I don't want anyone to feel that pressure. Like, well, I'm not even going to mention to my husband because he's just going to want to use them all the time. No, it's not true. I promise.
Yeah. Well, interesting conversation today, babe.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get some emails.
Maybe. I don't know.
But really, we welcome your feedback and your experience. We understand that there's nuance here and everybody has experiences and other things that they bring into their sexual relationship with their spouse. But if you want to discuss this further, shoot us an email anytime at thedreammarriagepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. And lastly, this is something that, yes, it's private, and yes, it's between your spouse. Because we say a lot of times, like, sex needs to be talked about more in the Christian world because the devil owns the copyright on it right now.
Right.
It's everywhere in the wrong way.
Right.
But we do understand this is something that probably does need to be held a little more private.
For sure.
This isn't something you're just going to talk about with your friends at double date night, you know, at dinner at some public restaurant. However, we do still want, if you have questions or if you don't quite fully understand maybe the way that you guys should communicate about this, or you have a disagreement, feel free to reach out.
Yeah.
We would really love to help. And it might be something that we can address on a future episode that would help lots of people.
Right.
So if you do have questions or need clarification or any of that, or if you disagree, if you think there's something in the Bible that says, this is why we can't do this, I would really love to hear it. My faith has grown and changed much over time because I can look back and go, wow, I was really wrong on that. And this is something I'm willing to be wrong on. All of the things in my life are things I'm willing to be wrong on. But I don't know if someone doesn't tell me. So, because in everything we've looked at, we've looked up every verse on sex multiple times, a lot over the last few years. And we think this is a way to build your intimacy that is absolutely okay.
Yeah. Well, we hope that this was fun or entertaining or educational. Who knows? But more than anything, we hope that it helps you grow your intimacy in the bedroom. And Coming up next, we're continuing the conversation about sex, right?
It's almost like it's a big topic or something.
It's like a big topic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the next episode we're shooting, it's on role play.
Yeah.
This, maybe even more than sex toys, this is a very
controversial,
faux pas, all of the words,
yeah,
topic.
And for good reason.
For great reason. And yep, we're going to explain that. But we're really excited to talk about it because we do think we have kind of unlocked the secret to how to do it the right way, morally, within the boundaries of our faith, and to add a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
To date night, potentially.
For sure. So we hope that you'll join us next week. We hope you enjoyed this week-long discussion about sex. Again, reach out to us anytime. If you need that yes, no, maybe intimacy checklist, it's over at our website at thedreammarriage.com. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday.